Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel, Foothill Ranch, with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Pastor Steve, what a blessing. Yeah, he definitely needs a rest. And you know, it's a real privilege to be able to fill in for him while he's gone. And part of the message today is exactly what we're doing right now. Our pastor's gone taking a rest, and we have the sound set up. We have the worship team here. We have teachers teaching. We have Barbara coming early preparing refreshments. And we're doing the things that we should do, even when our pastor's not here. And he's going to be blessed to know that you came while he's gone. Before I get started, I was thinking about this month here in June. June has got to be one of the most busiest months. It's been in my life. Graduations, birthdays. We had Father's Day last week. And sometimes you have birthday, Father's Day within a couple days. You have people preparing for weddings, summer weddings. A lot of preparation there. Excitement. I heard Noah's coming in a flood this summer. Did you see that? I saw that in TV. The big ark and everything. It's just amazing. But anyway, we can get real busy June and other times of the year. And I think sometimes we need to take a break and just look at our lives, our Christianity, our walk with the Lord. So that's what my message is going to deal with today. It's going to be about stewardship. You know, and what is a steward? As I was reading the scriptures about that, a steward, you could use another name, believer, disciple, follower, but how do you get to be believer, you know, a servant and disciple? We know we come to Jesus, and this, you know, this is a family here. We have a small group here. I see you guys all the time. We have some visitors, so this is going to apply for you too that are visiting for your church, or if you make this your church home, in order to be a believer, we come to Christ. But then how do we live that out in our lives? And I think when I did the study on stewardship, it made me think of those things that we should be doing. And I have kind of under three areas, treasures, talents, and time. And as we were worshiping today, and I was hearing those words from those songs, getting right to the point of things, who owns our treasures, our talents, and our time? Who owns that? I know as I was studying this, many times I want to take control and be the master of my time and my talents and my treasures. But you know what? It's not mine. That's a mistake to do that. You know, if we were a Christian, who bought us? All right? He bought us. His blood on the cross bought us. When that happens, we're his servant in not a bad way. It's going to be a blessing. And there's going to be rewards for us as being a follower and doing what he wants us to do. So the title of the message, and one more thing before we get going. Let's pray for our pastor, you know, all year round, not just while he's gone on his vacation. I don't know if you all know some of the things that happened to him this last month. Dislocating a shoulder. Couple traffic accidents, some family problems. I mean, if anyone gets attacked by the world and by Satan and the flesh, it's your pastor. And so we need to pray for him and lift him up because that's where the power is to protect him and let him do the job. So he's back here next Sunday. And think about him through the day. And as we think about him, we should think about one another, our fellowship here. For the ministries that we have, the teachings that go on. That's so important. It's vital. And that's how we stay in communication with God. I just want to remind you that those are the good things to do. And the other thing that I'd like to talk about with Pastor not being here is supporting this fellowship. If we're members of this church, we have a financial obligation. We don't talk about that. I don't like to talk about it because it should be out of our hearts. And you know, many of you are all doing that. So I just want to encourage you that is a blessing. It supports the church. We have scriptures I'm going to go through that shows us that that is one of our first things with our treasures is giving, supporting the church that you go to. So we have a nice facility, that we take care of the things that, the overhead, the housekeeping items that we have. And there's some other things with our monies that we can do. But getting back to the title today, treasures, talents, and time. Key verse here, Matthew 25, 21. Now, I made these notes up on Friday before I was finished, so they may not line up here. I may be adding some other, but I'll just read this for you. Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter in the joy of your master." If Jesus, again, is the master, he's the master of everything. Our monies, our abilities and skills, and the time that we have. God owns the time, abilities, and the treasures. I'm going to start with treasures first and go over that area first. 1 Kings 23. "Your silver and your gold are mine. Your loveliest wives and children are mine." Job 41:11. "Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine." Psalm 50:10. The Lord is speaking here. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness." Is there any doubt on who owns this place and these possessions? We don't create anything. We may use the things he gives us. But I find so often in my life that I'm running my time. I'm taking the money that I earned and I'm doing whatever I want with it. And we live in a culture as far as treasures and money that there's a lot of things out there that want to take up our monies. Look at the gadgets we have. I'm just amazed the things that we have for entertainment. My stepfather recently got a high-definition TV. If you like sports, I mean, you could be watching that thing all the time. It's absolutely incredible. iPods, music. I mean, we can spend so much on things that will end up consuming it. And not that that's bad. And, you know, that's one thing about Christianity that's so much different from other faiths. It's not a law religion. It's a relationship. And God may bless you with a high-definition TV to watch Nextel, NASCAR, you know, I mean, or Wimbledon, which is just starting today, which is one of my sports I like to watch. But I mean, then, but we have to be careful not to make it our God, right? God bless us with these things. We're one of the wealthiest people, even the poorest of us here have so much more than the rest of the world, and those possessions and things can get in front of us, and we can possess them, and we want to be master over those things, rather than giving those things to God and asking God in the little things and the big things, where do you want me to do my money? Where do you want me to put my money and my possessions? A couple years ago, we had a teaching, Crown Ministries teaching, on finances. It was absolutely amazing what the Bible says about monies and finances. If you look in the Bible, and Crown Ministries starts out in their preface there, that more things in the Bible are mentioned about money, possessions, than almost every other topic. So it's amazing how our hearts will be steered with how we deal with money issues. I'm going to give you just a couple in this, and there's other teachings on monies and possessions and saving and spending and that type of thing, other than Crown. But Crown has like a 12-week course, and there's scriptures for each week. And I'm just going to give you some of the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 4:2. "In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy, doing God's work." Giving, Acts 20:35. "In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a verse, maybe the key point here in that, at the very end here, Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I'm 57 now. You know, time gets shorter and shorter the older you get. And you think, what have I been putting my money into? I'm not going to be able to take it with me, am I? So the thing that really matters is really relationships and sharing the gospel. Having those characteristics of Jesus, being kind and loving and giving, seeking those, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to try to do. And when I think of stewardship of treasures, I want to try to use my money more wisely, you know, in giving, in saving, in spending, so that it gives glory to God and that I'm a witness for him. A second area is talents. And we have a parable both in Matthew 25 and Luke 19. We've probably heard these parables before. They're actually a bit different, even though they're basically about a master giving monies to servants to take care of his household. But they have different applications and different principles to them both. In Matthew 25, it talks about a man that goes on a journey, and he calls his slaves, and to one he gives 5 talents, to another he gives 2, and to another 1. He goes away, he comes back, and the one that he gave 5 talents to, that servant made 5 more talents. And in Matthew 25:21, one of the key points is, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The same thing happens with the servant that he gave 2 talents to. That servant also made 2 talents. And the same comment from the master, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But the one that he gave 1 talent to, that servant hid that talent. And the master was not happy with that. His expectation that he was going to do something with that money. And the key point here is at the very end of this parable, 29 to 30, "For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now that's a real alarming thing. Because what is this parable about? It's a parable that each one of us has unique abilities and talents. The person next to you is working at a different place than you are, most likely. And the person behind you, in front of you, they're working and they have a different skill than you have. And so, but they're accountable at that place to perform that work. Well, the same thing in Christianity. We all have skills. And this parable says we have at least one. There was 5, 2, and 1. So God gave Pastor Steve at least 5 talents. Tom, 2. He gave me at least 1. So God expects me to use that. He doesn't expect me to multiply the 5, but the 1 talent he's given me, he's expecting me to use that. And if I don't know you. And that's a pretty sobering thing. I go, "Well, I believed you, Jesus. I came to church. I taught Sunday school. I even came up when the pastor was on vacation and spoke." He said, "You weren't being a good steward." Remember, it's not just coming here on Sunday. What's the rest of the week like? What's Monday through Saturday like? What are you doing with the skill that I gave you? You know, it's not a matter of a competition or being the A servant. You know, it's very simple. It's the good servant and the bad servant. So it's just going about God's business with the abilities and skills that he's given to you. And we're all unique. So your walk and your responsibility is going to be different than mine. And that's, again, what's so great about Christianity. It isn't, we were talking about this in the Bible study this morning, about Islam. We don't all come and chant on a rug at a certain day and get rewarded for that. You know, God looks at each one of you individually, personally. And that's what's such a freedom with Christianity. It's such a blessing. The book that we have, our Bible, you know what? Thank God it's not a book of law. It's a relationship. You know, He speaks to us. And you know, many of you, again, are doing these things that you're using your skills at school, at work, in retirement. But if you haven't been, I want this to be a wake-up call. June 24th, what am I doing with the skills that God's given me? And let's use them with family, friends, neighbors, at work. I'll give you a little what I mean too. When you can get in ministry, you can also get off track. I teach Sunday school. Dave Packer and I teach the junior high and high school. And we'll have a certain curriculum. We're finished with that. We'll try to pick another curriculum and use that. Well, we went from one curriculum to another, and you know, the kids just weren't getting it. It just didn't feel like it was getting much exchange there, much involvement. And I said, you know, this isn't right. And I could have kept going with that, but I really asked God, what do you want me to do? You know, this is not the Richard Zeno junior high ministry. This is God's ministry. And so, Tom, I think you've been teaching in Proverbs, and I was doing a study on myself in Proverbs. You know, Proverbs is a great book for junior high school kids. I mean, from the first 10 chapters or so are all about youth. I go, why don't we just have a little dialogue? We'll go through these scriptures, pick out some good ones, and see what's relevant to their lives. We did that and went, that's pretty good. But the way I am is I like to have tables. Books go on tables. Pencils goes on tables. And also we got a large group, and I put two tables in there. We got kids on the walls. You can't even breathe in the place. And again, I started making it the Richard Zeno ministry. And I'm going, you know what? This isn't going to work. God said, get the tables out of here. So we, thank goodness, we got round tables, we rolled them out, we put chairs there, and we had a nice time, and we're doing that now. If we have 13 kids now, it's a simple thing, but the whole idea is that in ministry, you can make it master. I mean, you can become the master of that ministry, and it's none of us should be master of that ministry. It's the Lord God that should be master at the pulpit, in everything we do, in ushering, in music, in teaching, in nursery, because we can see that man will definitely go wrong. Right? I know I can go off the track really easy. So I constantly need to be in the Word, in fellowship, having you pray for me. And that's why I encourage you to pray for one another. Pray for our pastor so that we can hear from God, so that if we're doing something which starts out good, to stay in that good path. Right? To be a good steward in these areas. One of the last areas here is time. And that's probably the first thing we have. I mean, before we have any monies, before we have any skills, you know, we have time. And who owns time? Yeah, God does. I mean, I think I have tomorrow. I don't know if I have tomorrow. You know, I can procrastinate as good as anybody. But as I was reading and looking at the scriptures, time becomes very precious. And we'll be blessed. Again, there's a reward and there's a blessing to use the time wisely. You don't know how many Seinfeld reruns I've watched. You have no idea. Why? I mean, and again, it's not legalistic. Watching a Seinfeld can be edifying, maybe. Could be relaxing. Could be with my wife. I mean, we watch Wheel of Fortune, okay? But, you know, too much of something can become our God. Wheel of Fortune, you know? Vanna White and... there we go, Pat Sajak. Do you watch Wheel of Fortune too? Okay. But you know, that's again, Christian is not legalistic. Someone can go and play golf, and that's great, and that's a blessing, and that's fellowship. I could go play golf and says, you're not supposed to be playing golf, Richard. You're supposed to be doing something else. You know, that's why we're accountable, each one, not to a church, not to a man's doctrine, but to the Word of God, the Bible, because He loves you so much. and he's going to bless you and reward you for giving those things over. You know, can we give our monies, our treasures, our skills, our abilities, and our time to God? Can we really do that? It's a real challenge. Time especially. And I was just reading that email from, I think, Jim and Rita Curry sent it to me about that 83-year-old lady. You know, when you get 83, your values are going to change a little bit. You know, and it was a funny email because it was about talking about, you know what, I think I'll dust a little bit less and dance a little bit more. I think I'll wear my good outfit to the market, put on my best perfume. The whole idea was that, what are you saving some of these things for? Right? You know, put your best towards God, you know, and he's going to give you good balance and he's going to set your priority right. Because on the other end, what's the other choice we have? Being the bad steward, not making use of these things. And we're going to go there, and I'm going to read this parable to you, which I thought was maybe the one that, again, is probably the most alarming. And this is one about the 10 virgins. And this is a story about a wedding, a bride and a groom. Different tradition back then. So these things were, you know, they went for a week maybe for some time. And the bride didn't know when the groom was coming, but they had to be prepared. Now here, the 10 virgins, there's 5 foolish and 5 wise. The foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. And there was 5 wise virgins that had their lamps filled. And they were waiting. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy. All of them got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there'll be not enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Now, what does that mean? These were all part of the wedding feast. They knew their master. We're all part of a fellowship. We all say we're Christians. We know the master, Jesus Christ. Who has lamps filled and who have them empty? Because he may come back, and if you're not ready, he's going to say, I don't know you. And again, you're going to say, hey, I taught on Sunday. I came to church for 27 years. And if I'm not walking with him, that's why many times I listen to K-Wave. And there's an hour for pastors in the afternoon. Pastor's Perspective. And Chuck Smith, a lot of times, is there answering questions. And at least once a week, he gets the question, once you're saved, are you always saved? And Chuck always says, if you're walking with Christ, if you're with Christ. He always doesn't give like, yeah, once saved, you're always saved. He gives that little uneasiness where, well, where are you with the Lord? Yeah, you may have received the Lord, but are you walking in sin and wickedness and evil? You know, maybe you're not going to go to heaven. So he always gives that little uneasy answer where you're not completely sure. But to be sure is to have your lamps filled and be ready. So that when the Lord comes back, you know without a doubt you're going to heaven. That's our sort of our eyesight here is looking to the eternity, not to the things of the world. Because the world and Satan, the flesh, will take you down. And remember, in these things, in giving these things over to God, there's a blessing and a reward in these things. You know, there's blessings on our time here on earth, but I don't even know if we completely understand the rewards and the blessings in heaven when he sees the things that we've been doing, the unselfish things, the kindness, giving, helping. We just look to Jesus all the time. What did he do? That's the things that we should be doing. That one other parable with Luke. We talked about the parable in Matthew, but just quickly, the parable in Luke is very similar, but as you look at it, it's a little bit different where the servants, there's 10 servants that each get a mina, a pound, some amount of money. He goes away, comes back, and he says, "What have you been doing?" And the first one comes and says, "That one mina, I made 10. The second one, I made 5. But then there's one that does nothing with the mina." Now, what that parable comes down to is that, like the first one where we have special skills and talents to be used by God, this parable says, all of you have given an equal amount, right? 10 servants, 10 minas. The equal amount is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've all been given that equally. So we're to do something with that gospel. We're required to do something with that gospel. We don't want to be like that one servant that says, "Oh, I hid it because I knew you being an exacting man. I hid that." He says, no, that doesn't make it. It's either you are in or you're out, and you need to use what I've given to you. And so God's given this good gospel that we need to use at our place of work, our family, our households, raising kids, wherever we're at. We need to use that. I'm going to just give you a couple key verses here, and then we're going to finish. 1 Timothy 6:19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Luke 14:27, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. I was wondering, what does that mean, carrying the cross? I'm not going to carry a cross. I don't have any wood in my garage here. I haven't going to do that. But I think carrying the cross in this context, as I was studying, is being the good steward, making use of time, skills, abilities, and treasures that he's given to me. And that is following Jesus. Luke 14:33, in the same way, any of you does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. Everything, Lord? You want everything? That's kind of tough, isn't it? Everything? Well, he knows better than I that's good for me. Have you ever done things that you go, well, God, that didn't turn out too good? You know, after you do that enough times, you finally come and say, okay, it's yours, Lord. It's better just to start off at the beginning and say, this is yours. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. And find out what God wants us to do with these things he's given us. I'm going to finish with just this last story here. Thursday, in my work, I drive a lot. And I tend to do a specialty type of contracting, which is coatings for things like tennis courts and basketball courts and some other things, but mainly tennis courts and basketball courts. So I had a call from a fellow last week, and he said, you know, I need you to come by and look at my basketball court for surfacing it. And I'm right, you know, he gave me the address. It's downtown L.A. I don't want to go there. You know, I'm in the West LA area, sometimes the valleys, and all over Orange County. I go, that's not that convenient for me, but I'll try to work. And he calls me back. He says, are you going to come by? I said, okay. So last Thursday, I'm making my rounds through West LA, Beverly Hills. I'm in some nice places. So I make my way to downtown. I can hardly find the place. It's right around 3rd and Alvarado. All right? Not MacArthur Park area. It's a really dense, crowded, poor area of downtown. And there's a lot of people on the streets. It's the kind of thing where you don't want to park your car. It's not Orange County. You don't want to get out. You don't want to, you know, you just want to kind of, can I get in and get out as quick as possible? So I call, where I can't find your school. I finally find a school. It's a small school, Nuevo Camino Charter Academy School. Private school developed a couple years ago for the local kids in a poor area. It's unbelievable. It's K through 8th. I meet the AD. He's the coach, AD. He's everything, whatever it is. He's basketball court. That's all it is. It's tiny for a playground. And the court needs work and all that stuff. But as I finished, a nice young man, I go, well, where are you from? And how long you been here? Well, it turns out he went to Orange High School, ran track, at UCLA, almost made the Olympic team. And I'm going, what are you doing here? And he says, I want to give back what's been given to me. Now, I put some numbers here because I'm not that much of a track thing, but Terrence Williams is his name. I put 44.3, 43.18, 1.12. Terrence Williams ran a 400 in 44.3. The world record is 43.18. He was 1.12 seconds off world record. He was kind of like on the backup Olympic team. He turned professional, so he made some money and stuff. But I'm going, that's a short time. But it's relative, isn't it? Because our lives are short too. And he's using, you know, this time can open a lot of doors for him. He could be making more money not working at this charter school. And he does have another job where he does make some money. But just the time that he spends here, he could be spending it someplace else and doing really good. He can be rubbing shoulders with some of his ex-UCLA guys that maybe are at a nicer, better school, more prestige. You know, coaching, there's a lot that has to do with prestige and everything. And he's giving his time there. I'm going, I just met this guy. What an example of this message of being a good steward. I'm going, you know, it's just a blessing to see this in action where, you know, he's using, again, his treasures, lack of it. He's giving up some treasures. He's using his skills and the time that he has. All right, why don't we pray? Dear Lord, I pray that this word would help us, that we would see this as a blessing, as a reward, to be a disciple, to be a servant, to be a good steward, Father. If we lack in any of these areas, or all these areas, Father, I pray that you would direct us, that you would show us the way to go, that you would reveal your way to each one of us, because we are all unique. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who have been doing these things, that have been examples to me in these areas of doing things for you. And Father, I pray for our Pastor Steve that you would bless him, that he would just get so much rest and be just strengthen him and Brent and Lori, that you would just bless him so much and know that we're in your hands this Sunday, Father, that you've come and been here with us. So we give you praise and we give you thanks this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.